This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. This episode is brought to you by Jewel, sous vide by Chef Steps.
Jewel sous vide helps you make easy weeknight meals and delicious holiday dinners without stress or guesswork.
It is hands-free and worry-free. It takes care of dinner for you.
To get yours, visit chefsteps.com/Jewel. That's J-O-U-L-E. And use the code SPILLEDMILK to get $15 off for a limited time.
That's chefsteps.com/Jewel, code SPILLEDMILK.
Great.
I'm Matthew.
I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today, we are talking about tea lattes.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to start with some disclaimers, some announcements. First of all, we are not talking much about chai lattes on this episode, or chai tea in general. That will be a whole separate episode.
Yes. Yeah. And also, this topic is huge in a way that I could not have imagined. So
it really is.
Surely we are going to leave some things out or
we're really just going to focus on three particular tea lattes that we like.
Yeah.
And this all started with the Starbucks hojicha latte. So should we memory lane it?
Let's memory lane
right
it.
There.
So I think that the first and only tea latte I really have had is the hojicha tea latte, which I had for the first time in Tokyo with you when we went.
With you, the listener.
With you, the listener, when we went to Tokyo. Do you remember, listener?
When we brought you all along?
When we went to Tokyo with you in October of 2017, Matthew wakes up earlier than I do. And I would sleep until like 8 a.m. or so. And I would wake up and have a text from Matthew.
You are making me sound like so much fun.
You are fun. You are fun. I mean, I got you to like go to bars with me and
that's
stuff.
True.
You're fun. You are 100% fun.
Bars. That's how fun I am.
You went to bars. I would wake up at like 8 a.m. and I would look at my phone and I would already have a text from Matthew saying something like, I am out at the Starbucks at the Nakano Sun Mall. Like, let me know when you're awake.
Yep.
Or you would be, what was the other place in the Nakano Sun Mall that you'd go to?
Cafe, the name's not coming to me.
It was like across from a sock place or something.
It was the one across from the sock place.
Anyway, so I would get up and usually go meet you wherever you were. Anyway, one morning when you were at the Starbucks, I arrived. You were already there sitting upstairs and you were drinking, I think, a hojicha latte, or you had told me about it. So that was what I ordered.
I'm feeling so nostalgic about this.
And I also got, do you remember this thing? It was called like a Danish chocolate stick or something.
It was so good.
And it was kind of like brioche, like a cross between the texture of brioche and focaccia.
Oh.
And it was shaped a little bit like a hot dog bun, only slightly more kind of square and less like a long cylinder. And in the middle was like a baton of chocolate, and it had been warmed up slightly.
It was like what you want every chocolate croissant to be.
Yes. It was like yeastier than that somehow. Anyway, I carried my hojicha latte and my Danish chocolate stick upstairs to where you were and had the most like unexpectedly delightful beverage experience. I just, this hojicha latte was possibly sweeter than mm-hmm. than one might ideally have.
They put in a few pumps.
But it's got this like wonderful roasty hojicha thing.
Yep.
It's got like the great like texture of frothed milk, this sweetness. Oh my gosh, it was so delicious. And so when we were thinking about doing this episode, I was like, sign me up for some hojicha lattes.
Maybe we should say now what hojicha is.
Oh, let's do. Will you please say it?
So hojicha is a Japanese green tea that has been roasted. So it doesn't really taste much like green tea anymore. Mm-hmm. It tastes sort of like toasted beverages all have like kind of a similar flavor, I feel like.
Yes,
like if you've had like
ganmaicha.
Right.
Or, yeah, it all has to me sort of a like a toasted rice smell. Mm-hmm. It tastes the way toasted rice smells.
But it also has like a little bit of like coffee character to it, I think, because like I think some of what we think of as the flavor of coffee is the flavor of like roasted vegetable matter.
Oh, interesting. I hadn't thought about it. Whatever it is, it's so delicious, and I feel like it's really well suited to the sweetness of milk.
Yes, and it's much lower in caffeine than typical green tea.
Oh,
so like okay. it's a beverage that kids drink in Japan, or that you can drink in the evening if you're a wimp like me.
Does roasting like make the caffeine fall out or something?
I think roasting makes some of the caffeine fall out. Yes,
I do always wonder about that. Like, does it like? I know that like proteins are the only things that get denatured, but like, does it like denature the caffeine or something?
Well, it like, you know, it oxidizes it probably.
So does then that mean that it's like not bioavailable anymore or
right,
something?
Right, because like it breaks up the molecule into pieces.
Do you think that anybody's listening anymore now?
Oh no, we did it again 2 weeks in a row.
When we talked about the Instant Pot episode.
Oh, people love science.
I know that you guys turned off that episode
a third of
the way through. Okay, well, anyway. Okay, so Matthew, wait, what about your memory lane?
Okay, so my memory lane also is pretty much the Starbucks hojicha latte. I don't remember, like, what... I don't think someone told me about it. I think I just, like, picked it off the menu at a Japanese Starbucks at some point.
I'm amazed that you would pick it off the menu. I would think you would be somebody who would scorn a tea latte, because you are a tea purist in many ways.
Yeah, but I've been into matcha lattes recently also, which we're also going to talk about on this episode.
You know, it's like it's like the difference between like making something at home, you know, with like beautiful ingredients, and then having like a perfectly engineered food product. Like
right.
This is like the perfectly engineered food product of these teas.
Exactly.
It's like this fluffy, delicious variety.
And like the tea latte itself, like it's sort of hard to pinpoint like what is it exactly compared to like a tea with milk. And
it's not that different.
You know, it's got like steamed foamed milk versus unsteamed milk.
Fine.
But I mean, like, clearly it's related to the cafe latte. It's related to masala chai. It's related to like English tea with milk.
So would you talk a bit about masala chai just really briefly? What is it?
So masala chai, which can be made with or without milk, but usually with, is like when you think of like chai tea, that is masala chai, masala referring to the spice blend that goes in.
Okay, great. So Matthew.
So it's black tea brewed with spices and then usually with added milk.
With frothed milk or?
It depends. Like I think more classically, chai is just made with warmed milk.
Okay.
And sometimes the tea is brewed in the milk. We'll do a whole chai episode.
Oh, great. Right. Sorry. So these started to appear.
Yeah.
When did we start having tea lattes?
In the 90s is when I first started, especially in the form of chai lattes. Mm-hmm. But like that's when like... cafe latte had been around long enough that people...
Were playing with it?
Yeah, and you know, people needed a new beverage fad, I guess. And so that's when you started to see chai lattes in like non-Indian contexts, when you started to see like London Fog, which is an Earl Grey latte. Then matcha lattes really only took off in the U.S., I feel like, in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think it is probably related to certain health rumors about matcha being good for you, but also just like, you know, we needed a new beverage to put on the menu.
Yeah. And I think matcha, you know, became trendy sort of across the board, mm-hmm. as like, you know, you could get your matcha Madeleine at your nearby bakery.
Oh, for sure.
stuff like that. Like, do you order these in the States too? Do you?
Not very often. It's something I prefer to make at home because, like, I mean, they don't have the hojicha latte at Starbucks in the U.S. They do have it, like, occasionally, like, Fuji Bakery makes a hojicha latte in Seattle. Like, you know, if you have, like, a Japanese-focused bakery, they might sell it or cafe.
How is the one at Fuji Bakery?
It's good.
Cool.
You know, and it's not hard to make a good hojicha latte, but we kind of wanted to make the ultimate hojicha latte, and I think we succeeded.
You have devoted yourself to this task in a way that I previously had not conceived of.
A way you had not conceived of me devoting myself to anything.
Pretty much.
Right.
No, so hold on.
No, I've been neglecting my family for weeks so I could be down in the lab creating the ultimate hojicha latte.
I find it tough here in Seattle to even find hojicha in my like local grocery store. I know that you ordered yours online. Mm-hmm. I went to Central Market, which is in Shoreline, which is just sort of a big, good grocery store. And they did have some just sort of like cheap Japanese brand of hojicha that was in tea bags. And it was
fine. Which would be perfectly good.
It was fine. But I feel like, so you ordered like fancy-ass hojicha.
You don't need to, but this episode I think is going to be a little more useful than our average episode maybe because we're going to tell you where to get really good quality hojicha and matcha.
Okay.
And we're going to tell you how to make some of these drinks.
Okay.
Or at least the hojicha and the matcha latte, which I have strong feelings about both.
Well, and I was sort of doubtful as to the need for devoting all of this attention and precision. I mean, you got out like your jeweler's scale.
Right.
To measure this stuff.
AKA drug dealer scale.
Yes. But now that you've spent some time tweaking your hojicha latte, I get it. Like, it's really important to get the balance of like bitterness and sweetness and milk to tea, extraction of tea.
And I think this is our hojicha latte. We developed this together at your house.
Very generous of you.
So let me tell you the story, like how I got on this, particularly this Japanese tea latte kick.
Is this the story all about how your life got flipped, turned upside down by a hojicha latte?
I should just take a minute and sit right back. I moved in with my aunt and uncle in Los Angeles who were way into hojicha lattes because they were very wealthy.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
And this went on for a number of seasons.
Okay.
Take it away, Matthew. Here's what happened. I was in Tokyo in September of this year, and I went to a tea shop called Saten in Nishiogikubo in Western Tokyo, near where we stayed. Mm-hmm. And I got the matcha latte, I got the matcha macchiato, which was the best matcha and milk drink that I ever had.
Wow. Was the matcha, like you made me some matcha here at your house and it was very viscous.
Mm-hmm.
I know like that was desirable.
So,
was it like that?
It's kind of like that. So this guy who owns this shop, we should pause and I should look up his name so I can give him credit. He basically said, okay, like we're not going to do like traditional tea at this cafe. We're going to do like tea lattes and tea-based beverages, but I'm going to think about every ingredient and every aspect of them and make them as good as they can possibly be. Mm-hmm. So I got the matcha and he used high quality matcha. He whisked it by hand and then he used good milk that he had steamed and just made a little unsweetened matcha and milk, with a little latte art going on.
Very precious.
Yes. His most popular drink is his iced matcha latte, which is just like really delicious organic milk on ice. And then he whisks some matcha and dumps it on top of that.
Okay.
Really good. And then I didn't get it, but I watched him make a hojicha latte and I was like, I am too full. I can't have any more tea right now. But when I get back to Seattle, I'm going to make a hojicha latte like this. And what he did was he brewed some overly strong hojicha in an AeroPress.
Okay.
Which is, can you describe the AeroPress? I had never really seen it in use before.
So I use an AeroPress to make my coffee every morning. It makes a single cup of coffee or beverage of your choice. And basically, it's kind of this barrel-shaped thing that it's like a piston almost. Mm-hmm. It's got this cylinder, and then it's got this smaller cylinder that fits inside of it and that has like a gasket.
Yes.
So that there's some friction as you push the smaller gasket.
There's some friction as you push the piston.
As you push the smaller the smaller cylinder down into the bigger one. The bigger one has coffee grounds in it or tea if you're making hojicha or whatever, and you're pressing it through a filter that's at the bottom of the uh-huh. bigger cylinder. So it kind of, it was marketed as like an approximation of espresso because it is a pressurized way of extracting flavor from the coffee beans.
Yeah, so it gets, so you give it, it's more, the tea gets squeezed more than if you were making it in a teapot and like gets aerated a little more, I guess.
But the tricky thing for me is that when you and I were playing around with this, with the AeroPress at my house, it was easy to get a bitter tasting yes. tea. And hojicha is a tea you brew for a very short amount of time anyway, mm-hmm. like 1 minute.
Yeah.
So how do you get strong tea without bitterness?
By using lots of leaves to not very much water.
Okay.
And brewing for a relatively short time.
Okay. So you avoid the like bitterness of over extraction.
Yeah. So when I made it just now, I basically just put in enough boiling water just to cover a mound of leaves.
Okay.
So, like, you want the tea to be, like, unpleasantly strong to drink straight, but not bitter.
Okay, great. So he did that.
So he did that, and then he stirred a little bit of some kind of dark brown raw sugar into the tea, and then added some steamed milk.
This sounds really delicious. I love the idea of the dark brown, like, kind of, or just, yes. just unbleached sugar. Like
every other customer in this shop besides me was a woman in her 20s who was Instagramming her drink. Including the woman
you
who ordered the hojicha.
Fit right in.
It was great. So I came back from that and like, I want to start making tea and milk drinks like this guy.
So you ordered yourself a steamer.
I ordered myself a milk foamer. It okay. doesn't actually steam.
Okay.
But it's basically, so in retrospect, I think it would have been fine if I had just gotten one of those like wand things, the foaming wand that yeah. has a little whisk at the end. Mm-hmm. Because this is basically that in an electric kettle, but it works fine.
Okay. Okay. And so you spent all this time sort of like tweaking and testing how
spent
much...
Spent a lot of time tweaking.
Yeah. How much tea to brew for how mm-hmm. long.
And we're going to give these recipes.
And then you figured out exactly how much milk to add?
Yep.
Did you? Okay. And
you were there when most of this happened.
I know. It was just unbelievably. I mean, I remember
it was,
saying to you,
I wasn't
Matthew,
actually
like,
wearing a lab coat, like,
this
but
is
I might
like
as well
legit
have been.
Recipe development. Like, I feel like Christopher Kimball would be, or the folks at Cooks Illustrated would be delighted with your precision.
Yeah. When they heard about it, they hired me on the spot.
Yeah. I wondered where you were getting the money to buy that beautiful purple sweatshirt you're wearing.
Same as last time. Mm-hmm. This beautiful Hanes brand
yeah.
purple sweatshirt. Yeah. Yeah, it was a big investment. Uh-huh. So that's basically the story.
Okay. Do you make this frequently?
I mean, I certainly have been since we developed the recipe.
And you were using these like little packets of coconut sugar. Why were you doing that?
Because it was the raw sugar that was on sale at QFC.
Oh, so any raw sugar will
yeah,
do.
I think, yeah, like a sugar in the raw. Well, like one that'll dissolve easily.
Okay.
Not like one with huge crystals that's meant for sprinkling.
And, okay, so hojicha lattes, these are obviously something that if you live in the States,
you're most likely going to be making it yourself.
What about matcha lattes?
So matcha lattes, you can certainly get at a chain coffee place.
Starbucks has them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't like the U.S. Starbucks matcha latte. I think it is too sweet.
Okay.
I think it doesn't have enough matcha flavor. I feel like this is exactly what everyone would expect me to say, and yeah. I'm living up to your expectations.
Okay. I'm curious to try it because I know that I have sort of more, I have less exacting requirements
yeah.
of my matcha. And also I think that my palate doesn't usually respond well to the strength of matcha that you
yes.
like.
But,
so maybe this is like a drink that I'm going to be into.
Yeah. Well, but also maybe the one I make you would be into too. Cause like, I think wife of the show, Lori, I think feels the same way as you about matcha drinking in general, but I made her a homemade matcha latte in the style of Sauten.
Is it too late to get?
It's not too late.
Can you make one for me?
Yeah. So let's pause. I'm going to look up that guy's name so I can give him credit. I'm going to make us some matcha lattes and we'll be back in a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Warby Parker.
Warby Parker is a new concept in eyewear. It is fashion-forward glasses. You order them online at a very reasonable price, and they come right to your door.
Yeah, I mean, I want to be specific here. These glasses start at $95,
yeah,
including prescription
cheap
lenses. They've got anti-glare lenses, anti-scratch coatings, and for every pair you buy, a pair is distributed to someone in need.
Yep, so we did the home try-on program. They sent each of us five pairs to try. We got to pick out on the website which ones we wanted to try. They sent them over with blank lenses in them. We tried them on, picked our favorites, and Warby sent those favorites with prescription lenses right to us.
Yep, and we got to send back the try-on ones with a prepaid shipping label. Could not have been easier.
Yeah, it is 100% free. Your dog could do it.
So head to warbyparker.com/spilledmilk and order your free home try-ons today. Choose the five frames you want to try, mail them back once you've chosen one, and then go online, add your prescription, and order them.
Yep, that's warbyparker.com/spilledmilk to begin your free home try-on today. This episode is brought to you by Grove.
So I don't know if you've noticed, but it's the holidays.
I've noticed.
You may already have house guests. I hope you've noticed that, if you do.
Yes, I just noticed an uncle behind my couch.
Okay. Well, anyway, you're probably going to have extra laundry to do.
Yep.
You're going to have extra dishes to wash. Your stove's probably going to get dirty. You need to have cleaning products on hand, preferably ones that smell good, that don't make you gag on fumes, and preferably that are delivered to your door with free shipping and free returns, no questions asked.
If I wanted that, if I wanted to be able to clean up after a slobby uncle, I would go to Grove Collaborative.
Yep, they've got all the brands that you love, like Mrs. Meyer's, Method, Seventh Generation, and their own flagship line.
Yeah, this
really
stuff is
sponges, bottle cleaners, like all that stuff.
It's gentle enough for a baby, but strong enough for an uncle.
Sign up at grove.co/spilledmilk. And if you spend $20, they'll send you a $30 Mrs. Meyer's gift set for free.
That's grove.co/spilledmilk.
So, okay, so this matcha latte is made in like a small bowl because you whisk the matcha in there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
which, and of course, I could have whisked the matcha in the bowl and then poured it into like a demi-tasse cup, which is what Koyama-san does at Saten in Nishiogikubo.
Is there anything else you'd like to say in Japanese?
No, thanks.
Oh, okay. So wait, you wrote here on the agenda, avoid culinary grade matcha.
So I know how this makes me sound, but...
But you can it anyway.
Like, good matcha is expensive. On a per serving basis, is it as expensive as other things that you probably already enjoy all the time, like a liquor or something? No. But like, you know, if you go to the store, like even at like a Japanese supermarket, you will see like very affordable, like culinary grade matcha, which is just not tasty.
Okay.
And you can, you know, if you put in enough milk and enough sugar, it'll be fine and it'll give it a nice greenish color. But I think if you're going to be making a matcha latte at home, it's really worth getting good quality matcha. And again, we will get linked to a good source of that at a pretty reasonable price.
And so if you were to go into your like chain coffee shop, the matcha latte there would likely be made from some sort of like a mix. Like,
yeah,
would it come out of like a little, like a UVH carton?
Yeah, it could be, like that or a powder.
Wait, is that the right, are those the right initials?
It's not, but I can't think of what the right ones are now.
Let's think.
PVC.
UVA, CDC.
Yeah, it's a carton from the CDC.
Perfect. Drop it in your nearby hazards box, your sharps container
UHT.
When you're done with it. UHT, there we go.
Yeah, ultra high temperature.
Okay.
Oh, I have another story.
Okay.
We're still talking about matcha lattes, aren't we?
I think so.
Can I have another sip of your matcha latte?
Yeah, I thought this was our matcha latte. I can't drink this whole thing.
Oh, yeah, I really like that.
Okay, wait, what's your story?
Oh, so remember a minute ago I was saying I should have gotten one of those foaming wands.
Yes.
Not like the like steaming wand like at a coffee shop, like the one that's battery powered and is a little rotating whisk.
But then you would have to like warm up your milk separately.
I would.
I don't think it would save you any dish doing.
It probably wouldn't, but I wouldn't have to have a separate milk foaming pitcher that would have to live on my
shelf.
You've
all of a sudden become someone who's really into gadgets.
I really have.
Huh? Yeah.
So wife of the show, Lori, was recently at a cafe here on Capitol Hill in Seattle and saw something that neither she nor I has ever seen before, which was a woman ordered a like a coffee, put milk in the coffee, like or half and half from the condiment stand, and then pulled out one of these battery powered foaming wands, stuck it in her cup of coffee like while she was still in the cafe and whizzed it up and foamed the milk.
Whoa.
Uh-huh.
Wow. I wonder if she had like a special little sleeve that then she put the foaming wand back
That's
into
a good question.
Because then she's got to carry around a dirty foaming wand all day. And everybody knows nothing is worse than carrying around a dirty foaming wand.
What if she just tossed it back in her purse?
Gross.
And like the audacity of this, because like we assumed like what she was going for was like, here's how I can make a cheap latte by just ordering a drip coffee and turning it into something sort of like a latte, but like doing it right in front of them.
I can't even imagine that it would foam well either, because I mean, what makes the milk foam is like the properties of the milk, which are then just heavily watered down by coffee.
I haven't tried it.
What were you thinking? Isn't there a song that begins "Lady, Lady, Lady" from like
Probably.
the '80s or something?
It's called "Lady" from the '80s.
I think it was like Michael McDonald or Lionel Richie.
I think you're right. I don't remember this song exactly, and I feel bad. Like whenever you mention a song and I don't know the song, I feel like I've really let you down.
Yeah.
And not just you, but everybody.
Everybody. Okay.
Like
what
when
about...
I didn't know that Michael Jackson song. That was bad.
Which Michael Jackson?
I mean, no, it wasn't bad. It was a different song.
which one?
It was You Are Not Alone. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. And
now
I am here with you.
Yes. It's back.
Okay. So other tea lattes that we are going to discuss on the show. The London Fog.
Yes.
Which I think I first learned about because I saw my mother order it somewhere.
It's really tasty.
So it's made with Earl Grey tea. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes.
And then foamed milk, and it usually has vanilla syrup
yes.
in it. Which I think can often be pretty yucky and sweet, but it's really, I mean, obviously anything can be yucky and not good.
Anything can be yucky. That is the motto of our food show.
No, but you know what I'm saying?
I do, yes.
I think I
knew.
Things that are
not made well are bad, is
yeah,
what you're saying.
That's
right?
What I'm trying to say. But anyway, it's like a really harmonious combination. Like, because Earl Grey is bergamot, right?
Yes.
It's got this like citrusy situation, mm-hmm. which is so nice with like the sweetness and lemon. It's like squeezing a lemon wedge into your iced tea, only different.
It's exactly like that, only not.
Yeah.
Yes. I recently had a variation on the London Fog. I believe I had it at Ghost Note Coffee in Seattle, which is a very nice little coffee shop.
Is that where you had the Sparkle Pony?
I think it might be where I had the Sparkle Pony.
Okay.
It was the London Smog, which was made with Lapsang Souchong instead of Earl Grey, so a smoky tea. Real
wow.
tasty.
Lapsang Souchong was my maternal grandfather's favorite tea. Isn't it strange, these like little bits of trivia
uh-huh.
that we know about our forebears?
Yes.
Forebears?
I think it's forebears, but it makes it sound like instead of like four grandparents, like your four grandparents are
about
all bears.
About our forebears. Wait, what do you know about your forebears?
Oh, well, let's see. Like my grandparents in particular?
Anybody. Like random. What random facts do you know about people in your family? Like, my grandfather's favorite tea was Lapsang Souchong. My grandmother loved wearing red shoes.
I mean,
Nanny always had a pair of red shoes.
My grandfather was a mean alcoholic.
Oh.
My other grandfather was an innovator in the glass industry, glass and ceramics.
Oh, that's cool.
Is it?
But what about fun facts like, about things they liked or didn't like?
I don't know.
What about Judy Amster, mother of the show?
Oh, like all kinds of stuff. But like in what specific realm? So I mean, she loves making cheesecake.
So Tony Weisenberg,
okay.
other mother of the show, is an avid moviegoer.
Oh, my mom loves movies, too.
Big fan of popcorn. These are things I think about, like when I think about my mother, the moviegoer.
When I was a kid, my mom would always often go to the movies with her friend Murr. who she's still good friends with.
How do you spell that?
I believe it's M-U-R-R.
Okay.
I think it's short for Muriel, so it could be M-U-R.
Okay.
But the thing they always did was went to the movies, and they saw a lot of movies. Like, I don't think this is true so much anymore, but I still think of my mom as a person who, like, if there is a movie out, she has seen the movie.
Oh my gosh, moms should go to movies together.
Unless it's way outside the genres that she likes.
Yeah, okay. What else about your mom?
I would think of them as always going to, like, grown-up movies. Like something
movies that you wouldn't go see,
not like adult movies, but like movies that like I as like an 8-year-old or whatever would be like, I do not understand why this exists.
Okay,
it's all about feelings.
Oh, feelings.
I mean, I like that kind of movie now, sort of. I mean, would I take a feelings movie over a Fast and Furious movie? Probably not.
One time
I made my mom watch The Matrix and she hated it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
The Matrix is high art.
It's pretty good.
I mean, kind of actually like medium art.
It's medium art, yeah.
But I first had to watch The Matrix for a college class. Didn't you love college classes like that where you were
absolutely
just like doing bullshit like watching The Matrix?
I took a class called Music of Protest, which was not a bullshit class. Like it was.
We've talked about this.
Yes, but we got to like take turns bringing in protest songs that we liked and discussing them. And I think I played a Bad Religion song.
I think I would have brought in like Minor Threat at that time or something. Yeah.
I recently for Halloween, I had the idea that I was going to make a Bad Religion pumpkin and my child talked me out of it.
Oh, Matthew, don't let her do that.
Well, you know.
Okay. Okay. Well, anyway, so Lapsang Soochong, London Smog.
Yes. So, and I think maybe those are all the tea lattes we're going to cover today.
Okay. I mean, there are so many, we've got to draw the line somewhere. Mm-hmm. Boundaries.
Yes, that's what it's all about.
Yep. Just like our therapists are always teaching us. Nothing funnier than talking about therapists.
My therapist just told me to see more movies with feelings. Fewer car chases, more feelings, she said. Yeah. And I said, what about a movie? I mean, you know, those Fast and Furious movies, it's not just car chases. There's also a lot about family and like the family that you make and the family that you take.
That you bake. I'm not And then, you know, you got to know how to hold them and how to fold them and when to walk away and when to run.
That's
weird. Something that a therapist
my therapist
really
told me all of
sort
that.
Out.
I thought she made it up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then she started counting her money, which I thought was kind
so
of inappropriate.
Weird. In front of you? She didn't even wait till you'd left the room?
No, she was sitting at the table.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
This episode was brought to you by Grove.
Grove makes it easy to discover the best natural products to take care of your home and family, and they make sure you never run out.
They've got their own safe, effective, affordable Grove flagship products. They've got all your favorite brands all in one place, and they make sure you never run out of your favorites.
Sign up at grove.co/spilledmilk, and you might get a free Mrs. Meyers gift set with your order of $20 or more.
And when we say might, we mean you will. That's
thanks
Grove,
for clarifying.
grove.co/spilledmilk. All right. You can find us online at spilledmilkpodcast.com, where we'll post a link to the website where I order my hojicha and matcha and the specific products that I endorse. What else did I say we were going to
link to? You know, we'll link to Kenny Rogers' song, The Gambler. Mm-hmm. Matthew, surely we've talked on the show before about what a huge Kenny Rogers fan I was when I was a young child.
I think so.
Specifically, I love
Kenny Rogers is amazing.
The album, The Gambler.
Like Kenny Rogers has an interesting balance, I think, of like really good music and schlock.
Which ones do you call really good music? Like
The Gambler
obviously
is really good. Yeah.
What about Lucille?
I think good.
What about Islands in the Stream?
Boy, that really straddles the line, the schlock line, doesn't it?
Hold on. What else is on the album, The Gambler? The Gambler.
Right, because this was
Lady.
You're
my lady. No, how else does it go?
Close enough.
What else? What else?
Other Kenny Rogers songs?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't remember anymore off the top of my head. I'm sure, again, like
I used
listeners
to do the whole album. My mom could sit me down on this sofa in the den in the house where I was growing up, and I would listen to the album all the way through. I was like 3 years old.
Kentucky Homemade Christmas, a song that I used to be in a band called Fluffy Kittens, and every year we would do a Christmas single, and that was one of them.
Okay.
It's
so
just
we'll link
another
to The Gambler.
another homemade Christmas in Kentucky.
I've probably heard it before.
Just odds and ends I've fashioned with my heart and with my hands.
Just like this show.
Exactly. I'm Matthew Epster Burton.
I'm Molly Weisenberg. Well, I was trying to say I've cooled down, but the way it started down, to come out was I've chilled down. And then I was like, what does that even mean?
It's like,
but I don't know why I've really cooled down, because I've been working so hard making podcasts. It is about balance. You know, like when people say, like, how do you handle like your work-life balance? You're like, well, when my podcasts get sillier, my writing gets more serious.
We've got a best-selling self-help book in this concept.
Yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.